Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, Draft Picks. Here we go. Welcome to another edition of Draft Nation Podcast. My name is Joe412, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. Before we begin, as always, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, iHeartMedia, where you can find all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all the time, all for free. And for those of you who haven't listened to our show before, Draft Nation is a national e-magazine. www.draftnation.com. You'll be able to find it there. Sign up, get a free subscription, be one of our first members, and check out what we're doing here as we get closer to the NFL draft. But, you know, Draft Nation, as you could tell by its name, hyper-focuses on all four major drafts. So if you're a fan of the NFL, hockey, basketball, tonight we're going to be talking about MLB and baseball. We cover all aspects of that. So everything from player scouting, mock drafts, free agency, salary cap provisions, and of course the needs of your favorite teams. And speaking of baseball, tonight we have a gentleman that's helped us put together our Draft Nation, our inaugural Draft Nation Pirate Prospect Guide. This is Wilbur Miller. Wilbur, welcome to Draft Nation. Are you ready to go on the clock, my friend?
Yep, all set. I'm glad to be here.
Well, first of all, tell everybody who you are and how they can find you.
Well, I'm a retired lawyer, which is good in the sense that I could retire to Bradenton. And if you're a Pirate fan, that's nice because there's two minor league teams that play here. You know, online, the place you can find me is at Bucks on Deck. I'm contributing to that site now. I'm not on social media at all. But that's the place to find me.
Well, look, they can also find you at Draft Nation now. We've got this new Pirate Prospect book that came out for 2024 where we take an analysis of the top 75 prospects from all parts of the Pirates minors. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you and your team did for Draft Nation here as we launched it just a couple of weeks ago and what they could find in it?
The book, it's got write-ups of what we sort of have. There were about, seven of us on it, and we kind of voted and picked a top 75. We really picked a top 50 and then added about 25 more, a top 50 among the Pirates prospects. And the book, you'll find, has the basic stats, and it's got a write-up, usually about a page and a half of each of the prospects with what we know about them and some history and you know, some basic information like what the pitchers throw and that kind of thing. And then you'll also find in the book, and I didn't do this part, this is mostly John Draker, but you'll find some articles about Pirates history that they kind of break up the chapters covering the prospects. So it's really, I think, a nice mix if you're a real diehard Pirate fan to, you know, read about people like Joe Brown, who was the GM a while ago. So that's the two basic things you find in the book.
Yeah, what I'm excited about is to see how the Pirate media and the Pirate fans embrace it. I mean, I was really proud to put that thing out. And for those of you that are interested, you could find it at draftnation.com, or you can go to Amazon and order yourself a hard copy, or you can get an ebook version of it downloaded to your Kindle or your reader there. So go check it out and let us know what you think. And Wilbur, let's get into it. I mean, we're right in the height of that time of year where people are getting excited. Spring is upon us and hope springs eternal, right? And we're sitting here looking at a team that has a chock full of talent in the minors. You know, from your perspective, with this team, the Pirates, you know, you're down there, obviously in Bradenton, but you're scouting all the entire minor league system for these guys. Who has stood out to you so far in the spring? Doesn't matter if it's Bradenton or anywhere else. Who are some of those prospects that have really jumped out at you early on here as we start to make our way through the meat of the spring training season?
Well, it's very clearly going to be the pitchers who pretty much dominate the top of any prospect list you look at. There's these pitchers at the top: Paul Skenes, Bubba Chandler, Jared Jones, and Anthony Solomito, and they're the ones that you're going to talk about. I mean, Skenes is kind of obvious as a first pick in the draft, but Jones has had a really good spring. And in fact, the Pirates said he's still competing for a rotation spot, which nobody really expected. So that's a really good sign from him. Among the hitters, the standout is Tamar Johnson, and he's had a good spring. He hit a two-home-run game this spring, and that's, this is a guy who hasn't played above Class A, and he's facing either major leaguers or upper-level guys in spring training. He's done well there, so that's another one. And another guy who's made an impression in the spring is Sungchae Cheng, a shortstop who had about a half a season at Altoona, and he's had a very good spring too. He's not a power hitter. I think he has a couple of home runs in the spring, but he's a guy who makes a lot of contact, and he's a good defensive player, and he's been a really good base dealer so far, and he's on a 40-man roster. So, those are the guys who kind of stand out right now.
Well, let's dissect them one at a time, and let's start with Paul Skeens. I contend that there's no reason at all that the Pirates should not have him starting. I honestly think he's the best player in the system, bar none, from the majors to Bradenton. And I don't know why. I think we all know why, I should say, that they're not going to bring him up here until later in the season when certain deadlines have passed. And I get that tactically. I really do. But the Pirate fans are hungry for this guy to show up in the majors. And do you see a reason? First of all, do you agree with me? Is he the best prospect? Is he the best player in the Pirate system, period, let alone the best prospect, as I contend? And secondly, is there a reason that maybe he should be up here on opening day? Or, should we all be patient and wait till July or September to see him?
Well, with the first question, depending on what happens with O'Neill Cruz, yeah, he probably is the best player they've got anywhere. I was lucky enough to see him pitch against rookie leaguers and Class A guys, and that was, he was a man among boys at that point. And, the truth is, I guess if you stuck him out there in the majors in April, he might get hit some, but I'm not sure it bothered me a whole lot. He's going to go through that process anyway. We know about the service time thing. I do think they're probably a little bit worried about the workload because in college, these guys only pitch once a week. And in the majors, it's going to be once every 5 days. I guess they could legitimately be concerned about that. But the truth is, I might be proven wrong, but I think if you just stuck him in the majors now, he'd probably be fine. And by mid-season,
Yeah, please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you didn't. I was about done. Really, he's going to have to go through that process that they all do when they get to the majors. But I don't know. If you started him there in April, by mid-season, he might be through it.
Yeah, and I think that too. He's a younger guy. I get it. It's not a contact sport, but it is a fatigue sport. And these guys invested in a player whose arm is golden. And I'm not sure they made the right pick. I would argue that they should have taken Dylan Cruz. And I'd love to get your opinion on this. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I liked Cruz for a variety of reasons, including the fact that he plays 140 games a year and will impact your team 140 times. And, one Tommy John and you lose the guy for a year and change. Not to say that, fielders can't get hurt, but it's usually not for that extended period of time. And I think that he would have been more impactful on those schemes. Look, the other side of it is very easy to make, too. It's like, you got an ace. You got a guy that's a potential Cy Young kind of talent. The guy rarely throws under 100 anything. I just think that if I were sitting where I was, I might have gone in the direction of Cruz. Do you agree or do you disagree? Do you think Skeens was the right pick for the team? And, hey, look, I could easily be wrong here.
Yeah, I probably would have gone for Cruz myself. And that's part of it is I have a very long-standing bias towards hitters at the top of the draft. A lot of it for exactly the reasons you said, the injury risk and so on. I guess the argument for Skeens that I've seen made is that is that there are a lot of people out there who really consider him a generational talent. And as good as Cruz is, and that's really, really good, nobody's quite going to say that about him. But I do have trouble with the idea that a pitcher can add the kind of value to a team at that level. You know, a guy that good, you hope he's going to be a big star. And I have trouble with the idea that a pitcher can add the kind of value that a hitter does. But, you know, if he breaks into it,
I hear you, man. Like, you got a guy that's going to lead your rotation for the next 10 years. Yeah, I mean, he's got that stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, if he turns into the kind of guy that Max Scherzer was for the Nationals for a number of years, that has a lot of impact.
I think as Pirate fans, we all saw what happens when you do have aces like that in the playoffs. I mean, Arrieta and Baumgartner shut them down. Some of those Cardinal pitchers shut them down, and they neutralized the hitting advantage that the Pirates, might have brought, or at least that. So I get it. I just think it's risky just based on the asset blowing a gasket and losing them for a year and a half, based on a surgery.
Yeah.
It's a little risky for me, and I do like the idea of touching 140 games as opposed to 35.
It's just contrary to my instinct to take the pitcher, but the thing is, this guy is so good. According to everything, people more knowledgeable than me say about him, and just based on what I saw, that, I guess I'm willing to say, okay, let's wait. And even if it's not the pick I would have made, it's really exciting to see him in Pittsburgh.
And I think fans are clamoring for that, right? I think they want to see him up sooner rather than later. But let's switch off of pitching and talk about hitting. You mentioned Tamar Johnson earlier in your comments. I think the guys, like you said, is having an amazing spring, and also, someone who, started to come on at the end of last season. I think the Pirates are depending on him being a big-time piece to their championship puzzle down the road. Tell everybody a little bit about what you see in Tamar, and also, does he get to Altoona this year, and where do you see him finishing the season? I mean, I think Indianapolis might be a little ambitious. I mean, we gonna see him stay in Florida, or do we see him get up here to Altoona?
Based on the spring he's had, they're pretty conservative with this stuff, so I'm guessing he'll go back to Greensboro. But based on what he did in the spring, I don't see any particular reason not to send him straight to Altoona, and which would mean I would expect him to finish the season in Indianapolis. I mean, the fact is, this is a guy who was considered the best bat in the draft, or at least the best high school bat. And when you're drafting a guy that early, I don't really believe in this one level a year thing with guys who are, if he's the guy they thought he was, he doesn't need to go one level a year. And if he can't do that, if he can't advance quickly, he's not the guy they thought he was. But he's a really strange case, because when they drafted him, all of the stuff you read about him was, Stouts put a 70 hit tool on him, and it's just the best hit tool they've seen in years and years coming out of high school. And that's what he looked like, because I saw him play a good bit in the limited time he got the year he was drafted, and that's what he looked like. Then he came out a year ago, and suddenly he's an all-pull guy who's really unloading, trying to hit everything out of sight. And what makes that a little less alarming, because he swings and misses a lot. What makes it a little less alarming is that he hardly ever swings out of the strike zone. And he does have a lot of power, which he showed last year for a guy his age. I think he was 18 most of the year last year. What did he hit, like 18 home runs in Class A, half of Advanced A? You don't see that a lot. So he presents a real strange story, just looking at his two pro seasons, really more like one and a quarter. And what exactly we're going to see going forward, I'm not sure. I mean, there's still a lot of work to do, but there's also clearly a lot of talent there, because, one, he has a lot of power, and two, he has a really good eye at the plate. He does not chase.
So you mentioned before. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I was going to just, the last thought was defensively not so good. Definitely not a shortstop. And second base, I think, would be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I think that's a concession the Pirates would live with, to get a guy with his bat, right? And I think that, he almost had a perfect scouting score. He might have had a perfect scouting score coming out of high school for his bat. And if that means you play him at second, so be it. They have a shortstop, and frankly, they keep adding shortstops. So I think they're going to be fine, at short. I mean, if he goes to second, I'll take that concession any day and place on Sundays. But
you can dream about Cruz hitting 35 home runs playing short, and Tomar hitting 25 at second, and you can put up with a lot for that.
That's exactly right. And speaking of dream teams like that, where you've got Cruz and Johnson, let's get back to pitching for a second. You mentioned a few of those guys at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Which of these pitchers, especially some of the lower levels that our listeners may not be as familiar with, who is standing out to you this spring? Who has the most upside? What are some of those names that we should be listening to and looking out for that we might not see in the majors this year, but we might see them sooner rather than later?
I think you'll see Bubba Chandler sooner if he's healthy. I saw a good bit of Chandler in rookie league and at Bradenton. And there are people out there who think he may have a higher ceiling than Paul Skeens.
That's high praise, my friend. That's high praise.
You have to – the guy is incredibly athletic, and that does translate to the mound. I've seen him make diving stops on hard grounders from the mound. I mean, you don't see that normally. I'm not sure it's a good idea either, but, the guy, he has – apparently his breaking ball and his changeup both developed a lot. And a lot of it just over the last couple of months of last year, and he's already got – a fastball that has a lot of life. He throws in the upper 90s, and his command is improving, and there's a real high ceiling there. And again, the athleticism just enhances it, because that is a thing for pitchers. It has a lot to do with repeating the delivery. And this is a guy who wasn't full-time pitching until last year. And most major league teams seem to think that makes a big difference for a guy to get out and concentrate just on one thing. So he's a guy that there are people out there who think that he's at least competitive with Skeens over the long term. And he's a guy that, it could be famous last words, but he could move really suddenly once he gets going this year. He'll start at Altoona, I'm sure.
What about Solomito? You mentioned him earlier. Is this can you literally see in 2 years a lineup that features Skeens, Keller, Chandler, Solomito, and one other?
Jones. Jones. I'd like to. I'd really like to. And Solomito could. I think there's some division with him, because he's basically a sidearm guy who doesn't throw real hard. He throws in the low 90s mostly. But so far, and again, considering he's not really that experienced yet, and he's pitched pretty well in Double A. So I think some people might sell him a little short, but most people have him certainly as one of the Pirates' top 10 prospects. And, I don't think he'll possible Chandler and Jones will, but I do see him starting for the Pirates at some point within the next year and a half.
Well, let's talk about Jones for a second, because you mentioned him at the top as well, and we haven't gotten to him yet. And I was interested to hear what you thought about Solomito, because he is different than the other pitchers. Tell us a little bit about Jones, what you've seen, what you like, and when you think he might arrive in the bigs.
Oh, I think you'll see him this year in the majors, unless things can happen with pitchers, which kind of goes back to the discussion about taking Skeens at the top of the draft. But he's actually, there's some similarity to Chandler. He's a really athletic guy, and his you know, command has always been the issue with him. He throws the fastball that he has almost Chandler's velocity. He'll throw mid to upper 90s. I saw him a couple of times this spring, and he was throwing 97, 98 most of the time. Although you have to always have to bear in mind it's over like two innings, but he throws two different breaking balls, and so he's in a lot of ways he's similar to Chandler, that the stuff is really top of the line. The question is whether he'll command it well enough, and you know he's made a lot of progress and he's had a good spring, so you know I definitely think we'll see him sometime this year.
So let's talk about a weakness. We've talked a lot about the strengths. I think most Pirate fans looking up and down the rosters from the majors to the lowest of minors see a dearth of talent in the outfield. Is that accurate? Are there any sleepers in there that you can see? Or is this something that they're going to have to improve through free agency, trades, or other means? And do you agree with that sentiment, or do you disagree?
No, I agree. It's something they got to work on. They've got some guys in the low minors who have some potential to break out, chief among which is Lonnie White Jr. But there's nobody I'd say is certainly on a level with like Tamar Johnson as a prospect. These are guys who still have a lot to prove, mostly along the lines of making consistent contact. But White, and he spent about his first year as a pro hurt all the time. In fact, most of his first 2 years. But he finally got into action pretty consistently, starting I think it was in June of last year. And the last couple of months, he was showing a lot of power, enough that I saw him a lot. I probably saw him play several dozen times, and he wasn't getting a lot of strikes. The pitchers didn't really want much to do with him by the end of the season. But he's a very strong guy with good power to the opposite field.
So outside of the guys that we have mentioned, what other prospects are worth paying attention to in 2024? I mean, are there folks out there that just aren't getting talked about that you're looking at and saying, there's something there. People should be talking about them a little bit more. Who are those guys and why?
If you get a chance to really follow them, I think the most noteworthy one is Sunjuk Shim, S-H-I-M. He's a Korean kid they signed a year ago. And he only pitched eight innings. He's 18 or was 18 a year ago. And he only pitched eight innings last year due to a pectoral muscle injury. I saw most of those eight innings. And his stuff it's in the category of guys like Jones and Chandler. I mean, he was throwing 95 to 98. And he's got a curveball with a lot of spin. He's picking up a change. And considering the lack of experience, I thought his command was fairly decent. I think he pitched eight innings. I think he struck out 13 or something like that. It's a tremendous talent, but he's also a complete question mark because, you know, he hasn't pitched more than two innings in a game yet and only eight innings so far. So you don't know how he's going to stand up to things. But the talent is probably on a level with those guys that you talked about as their top pitching prospects. He's just a lot further away. But he's definitely a guy you want to watch.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead.
No, please. Okay. You said another guy. I want to hear the other guy.
another guy, and this is a lot more equivocal, is a shortstop, Yordani De Los Santos. He was their top signing, I think it was 2 years ago, top international signing. And there's a lot of talent there. And he was noteworthy when he was in the Dominican Summer League, which would be 2022. He was putting up exit velocities that would rank him among some of the better hitters in Major League Baseball. And I saw him play some in rookie ball last year, and he was doing the same thing. He was hitting really well. Then he got to Bradenton. He was really struggling with basically anything but fastballs. And I'd seen him a few times this spring out of Pirate City, and it's still continuing. But, you know, I think he's still only 18. And so there's a lot of time there, and a lot of opportunity for him to get over that. If he does, he'll probably end up at third base. He's a little bigger than most shortstops, but at least for the time being, I think he's a pretty good shortstop. So he's a guy worth watching, just in the hopes that he starts making better contact at these higher levels. I imagine he'll be at Bradenton this year.
Do you see any of these guys in particular as trade bait? You know, are the Pirates just too loaded at a certain position and they're going to need to move a few guys to get some talent at the major league levels? I mean, I know that the minors are, you know, depending on whose rankings you look at, top one to top five. So they've got talent to move. Is this the year that the Pirates move a couple of guys to improve the major league team, or is this still, or are we still a year away from them making a real push to get back into the playoffs?
I don't really see them moving these guys because they value those cheap years, the 0-6 and especially the 0-3 years so much that I think they're going to be really reluctant to trade top prospects. And if you want an impact at the major league level, you were talking about trading a couple of those pitchers that we've talked about. Guys at low levels aren't generally, unless a team is trying to dump salary, they're not generally going to bring back impact major league players. So you're talking about trading people like Jones and Chandler. And I don't really see them doing that. I think I see them trying to ride those guys to contention.
Well, I hope you're right because it is exciting. I was talking to our mutual friend Dave Fignoli a while back, and I know that Steeler and Penguin fans might not want to hear it, but he contends that the Pirates are the closest team to a championship in Pittsburgh, and it's hard to disagree with what you see in the minors. Like, not all these guys are going to work out. I mean, I know that there are lottery picks out there, and that's exactly what they are. They're just a ticket, but some will hit and some won't. But you know, they are definitely loaded on the mound for sure, and I think if they can cure that problem they have in the outfield, we might see a championship caliber team here in the next 12 to 24 months. Something that could be a team that the city could be proud of, and a team that could be in contention. So, well, look, we're coming to the end of our time, Wilbur. Tell everybody one more time where they can find you and how they can get a hold of you.
Find me at Bucks on Deck. The URL is bucksondeck.substack.com. And I'm a pretty regular contributor there. I'm usually in the comments most days, so I'm not too hard to find there.
And for everybody that's interested in the newest product, check out draftnation.com or go to Amazon and look for the 2024 Draft Nation Pirate Prospect Guide, and you'll find it as it pops up. But again, big thanks to Wilbur Miller for coming on, and to our sponsor, iHeartRadio, where you can find all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all for free. And remember, while Draft Nation may be off the air, we are always on the clock for you. Wilbur, again, thank you very much for your insights tonight. Look forward to catching up to you in about a month when we're ready for opening day.
It sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.